Friends, you'll notice in the bulletins today you have a sermon outline. There won't be a PowerPoint, although I'll ask Brian if you could throw those Bible passages up just as we go, and when we refer to them, that would be great, a great help. On this New Year's Day, I want us to remember that God's Word is powerful to transform lives. We've just had a part of the Word of God read to us. So I want you to believe and take hold of the truth that as people encounter the Word of God, their lives are changed by God. There was a certain man, an immigrant from North Africa. Let me tell you about him. He was a teacher of philosophy, widely respected for his learning and intelligence. But like most people of his time, this was about in the 300s, he was a pagan. He also lived a life of sexual immorality, didn't believe in God, and he was very immoral. By his own admission, he said, "I was enslaved by lust." Then a fellow teacher, another philosopher, but a Christian, gave this young man a copy of the book of Romans, which is one letter in the New Testament. As he read it, he immediately knew that this book was different to anything he had ever seen before, and it touched him deeply. He saw as he read the book of Romans that he was a sinful man, he was separated from God, and he had no hope of finding peace and joy outside of God. Despair seized his heart. He threw himself to the ground, he says, and he cried out to God to free him from his sin. And as he prayed that, at that moment, he heard a little child singing a nursery rhyme, which said, "Pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it." So he picked up the book of Romans that he'd been reading, and he went to the 13th chapter, which said, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." He said the words cut through his anguish and confusion, and he surrendered his life to Christ. 386 the year was. The young man is Augustine. He went on to be one of the key leaders in the Christian church, and his teaching and influence has shaped the Christian church, even the Protestant church, to this day. It happened because a Christian put the Word of God into the hands of someone controlled by unbelief, controlled by lust, controlled by immorality, and God used the Word of God to speak to him and to change him. Who will you listen to in 2017? There are a lot of competing voices out there, from friends and parents and television and music and radio and magazines and lecturers and psychologists and philosophers. Psalm 1, right at the beginning of this year, reminds us to listen to God's word because it is the wise way to live. It leads to a purposeful life, it leads to godliness, it leads to real and enduring joy, and it leads to the way of salvation. The Psalms, and in our morning series, we're doing the first four Psalms. At night, we're just doing Psalm 1 and Psalm 3 over the next 2 weeks. They're about prayer and praise. They're beautiful songs. They're prayers. They're reflections. They come out of real-life situations where people express their thoughts and their prayers to God. And one of the key things in the Psalms is this, that the Lord Yahweh is King. So as you start the new year, you need to remember who is king. Donald Trump is not king. Putin is not king, right? The leaders of our nations are not king. The Psalms remind us that God is king. He is in control, and we are accountable to him. And Psalm 1, you're talking about the type of psalm it is. It's what's called the wisdom psalm. It's like a wisdom psalm. Like Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. Very similar in places to the book of Proverbs. And it's placed here, the beginning of the Psalter, as an introduction to the rest of the Psalms. The main purpose of the Psalms and this Psalm today is to remind us to serve Yahweh in 2017 and beyond, live wisely, and reject the false teachers and the other competing voices. And the first thing in verses 1 to 3, I want to focus on the attractiveness of the godly life. It said, "Blessed is the man, or happy is the man or woman, or how rewarding is the life of men and women who. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." Now, first thing you want you to notice is that you can be happy and blessed from a negative perspective. Be blessed by putting aside certain things, or not listening to certain things, and then we'll see the positive perspective a little bit later. Three things he says here. Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't let yourself be guided by the advice of evildoers. And the wicked in the Psalms are enemies of God. They're enemies of God's people. He says, be careful who you listen to. In 2017, who will you listen to? Let me give you examples of ungodly counsel that you will hear in 2017. Look after number one. It's your life, it's your money, do what you want with it. That is the counsel of the ungodly. It's not your money, it's God's. Everything you have is a gift of God. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Have another drink. It's New Year's Eve. It doesn't matter if you get drunk tonight. It'll be okay tomorrow. I hope you didn't listen to that counsel of the ungodly yesterday and woke up with a sore head today. And if you have a sore head today, praise God for that. For the sore head, not for the too many drinks. Or you love your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's normal these days to sleep with them before you get married. Everyone's doing it. As long as it's not forced, just do what you like, the counsel of the ungodly says to you. That's the counsel of the ungodly. It's not the counsel of God's word or God's truth. God says sex is only to be enjoyed within a marriage relationship of a man and a woman. Anything outside of that is wicked and sinful and evil, and you must turn from it. Don't listen to the advice of the ungodly. The ungodly tell us that gender is fluid, that homosexuality is acceptable to God and to society, that marriage equality should be celebrated. Do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, wicked and evil. Abortion. You don't want or need this child. You didn't plan for this child. The counsel of the ungodly will say, it is not a child. Terminate it. Deal with the problem and move on. Euthanasia. You're suffering. God would want you to inject them with a poison to kill them. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. What happens after death? People will say, nothing happens after death. You just die and you rot in the grave. You Christians, you're nuts. Why are you bothering going to church? There's nothing in this. One of my friends, when his mate died at the age of 40, this friend went to the funeral. He came back and I said, has it made you think about life and death? He said, oh, yeah, no, it just made me think I might not live long, so I'm just going to go out and enjoy life because tomorrow I die. And I said, that's not the point. That's not the lesson you should have learned. What you should have learned was the fact that life is short and you're accountable to God and you have to face God. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Universalism. Well, in the end, it's all going to be okay. We're all going to end up in heaven. God loves everyone. Muslim, Hindu, atheist. God will let us all into heaven. And isn't it interesting how many people are being reunited? How many celebrities who have died recently in the media? They're all going to be reunited with each other somewhere. Don't know where. Don't listen. And then he says, not only do you not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, but stand in the way of sinners or conform to the way of sinners. You see, when you listen to false teaching and you start to believe it, you then start to act in ungodly ways. And you behave like the non-Christians. You behave like the wicked. And there is no distinguishing mark between you and your non-Christian friends. And you don't look any different. Because you start to believe the same things and you start to live in the same way. Don't behave like them. The problem is when you start to behave like them, it becomes a habit. And you get used to behaving like a sinner. Like being sexually immoral, like lying and cheating and looking after you as number one rather than seeking God's glory in all things. You start to behave like others and it's hard to break the habits. And the final place, he says, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners and live like them. Do not sit in the seat of mockers. In other words, don't sit in the gathering and assembly of the mockers or the scoffers. Because as you listen to their counsel, you become like them. Before you know it, the church looks no different to the world. And in a sense, you just sit with them and you scoff at God, you mock God, and you even insult God. Have you ever heard someone come to you and say, you know, Christians are weak, unintelligent people, that's why they need a God to believe in? Heard that? I've heard that multiple times. Or someone says to me, well, I used to believe in God when I was young, but now I've grown up, now that I am mature, I don't need to believe in God anymore. You'll grow out of it too. Mocking, scoffing at God's people. And God says, in a negative perspective, blessed is the person, man or woman, who does not listen to their advice, their counsel, does not identify with them in their behavior, nor sits with them and mocks God and mocks God's people. Friends, that's the downward slope when you start to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You just go down and down, and you're just part of the non-Christian world. And sadly, there are people who used to be in this church in the past who now sit in the council of the ungodly. And they scoff at God and say, I used to be part of that church. I don't believe anything anymore. It happens. And the Word of God says, don't listen. That's where it starts. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates on it day and night. There's another, not only do you not listen to certain people, but you listen to the Word of God. You delight in the law of the Lord. Last night I was in Darling Harbour with my wife. We started to see some lights, and we're sitting in this beautiful restaurant. We're sitting there at 7, hoping to last our meal to last till 9, until the lights came up before they kicked us out. So we had a lovely lamb shanks, and I was delighted in that. I delighted in bruschetta before that. I delighted in my banana split that came afterwards, because I had to keep eating, right? Because otherwise they'd kick us out. And I delighted in my cappuccino, delighted being with my wife in that place. And I delighted just seeing people come and the sense of happiness. I delighted. I was interested in it. I wanted to be there. It was great fun. And I think, no, God wants me to delight in a similar way, even more profoundly in his word. I delight in God's word because this word, as I know it, as I take hold of it, as it takes hold of me, it changes me. It sends me in a new direction in life. It gives me meaning and purpose and joy and fulfillment. It's the word of God I need to go to. Let me tell you about Benjamin. Benjamin was a barber living in northeastern Brazil. He felt his life was complete. He had a great job, good health, and he loved his wife. But that didn't matter to one of Benjamin's customers. He knew that Benjamin really needed God, so he gave him a Bible. So a customer came up one day, got his hair cut, and passed over a Bible. And Benjamin began to read it and realized for the first time that he needed more than a comfortable life. And he accepted Jesus as his Savior. The Word of God changes Benjamin. And then Benjamin is a barber, right? People come to him all the time. For those who mock my hairdresser stories, this one's a barber story, okay? And so in his excitement, as he would give a haircut, whatever you do, he would then hand out a Bible to people, or New Testament, in fact. And the owner of the barbershop didn't appreciate it that much. And he said, listen, Benjamin, if you lose any customers because you keep witnessing about this Jesus, then I'm going to sack you. But he didn't stop. Customers kept coming. Soon there was a line waiting to get a haircut in Brazil, northeast Brazil, for Benjamin and a New Testament. They were coming. One day, Benjamin was down to his last New Testament. It's going to be a while before the next order came in, and he thought he'd hold on to the last New Testament. And he told his next customer, the guy comes down, sits on his seat, ready to go for his haircut and his New Testament. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I have no New Testaments left. I only have this one. I thought I might hold on to it. He said, I came 50 miles to get my haircut because I heard you give out the New Testament. Benjamin felt reluctant, but he gave the man the New Testament. 50 miles, seriously. Don't they have barbers in northeast Brazil? Or his Brazilian friends. And New Testaments. And he gave it to him, and a little while later he heard that 15 members of the man's family had come to Christ. Because he took that word, and he started to share the gospel with others. There's a sense of when you delight in God's word, when God's word is powerful to bring salvation and transformation, you want to share it with others and pray that God touches their lives. Blessed is the man who delights, is concerned with, has a preoccupation with the law of God, God's instruction, God's truth. And friends, when the psalmist delight in God's word, going to God's word is not a burden, but a delight. Notice that. You ever been a bit like me? Oh, I've got to read my Bible because I've got to follow through the program, tick it off. I've got to read Jeremiah chapter 7, or I've got to read Leviticus chapter 9 today, because I read the Bible systematically every morning. And sometimes it feels like a burden. The psalmist says, no, it's a delight. It should not be a burden because it is where God instructs us and transforms us. And friends, as you read your Bible this year, as you study it in small groups, as you study it alone, if you study it at Bible colleges, as you hear sermons on Sunday, the big picture of the Bible is this. Maybe you've never heard it before, that God is the great creator. He made us for a relationship with him, but we've rebelled against him. And judgment is required, but God loves us so much that he sent Christ to die for us on the cross. But if we believe in Christ and repent of our sins, there's a glorious future for us. We don't rot in the grave, but we live forever with Christ. And it matters how you serve and how you live. 2 years ago, I decided to read through the Bible in a year. And I mentioned 2 years ago that I'd never read the Bible through in a year. I'd read sections of the Bible and study the Bible, but I found it hard just to read, allow the Bible to soak into my heart from all parts of the Bible. So 2 years ago, I read the whole Bible, used a method. Last year, in 2016, I did the same, read some Old Testament, some New Testament every day, and I covered the Bible in a year using a plan. I'm going to do the same this year. So in the foyer, I've copied 30 copies of a Bible reading plan where you can read the Bible and delight in God's word every day for a year and read the whole counsel of God. Not just a couple of passages here and there, not a couple of verses here and there, but read the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. If you want to grab a copy, I put 30 out this morning, they all went. And I'm happy to print some more. But today's the first day. If you're going to start sometime, you have a resolution. Don't let this resolution be for a week or 3 days or 4 weeks or 1 month. Don't stop it on the 2nd of February because you think I'm 5 chapters behind already or 20 chapters behind already. Don't give it up. It's not a resolution. It is a commitment to know God's word and to grow in him. It says the righteous person's blessed position is illuminated in verse 3 by the simile of a tree. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And the picture is this tree, it's not in a desert. It's by an irrigation channel. It's a place where there's always water. And if you delight in God's word, the tree grows and you flourish and your life flourishes and you have meaning and purpose. You have joy and you have delight in God. And it doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be materially wealthy, but it means that you are prosperous in God. You're living for God. You're happy in God. You're happy serving God. You're happy rejoicing in God. That's what it's like when you delight in his word. And friends, we know this side of Jesus, that we also have the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, to empower us, to transform us, to enable us to obey God's word. Then in verses 4 to 5, we're told about the futility of godless existence. As opposed to the godly, the blessed ones, we have the futility of godless existence. Not so the wicked. They shall not prosper as the righteous. It's characterized by meaninglessness and worthlessness. And we have deliberate change of a word picture here. Simile of verse 4b, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Listen very carefully. It says, the ungodly, the wicked are like the chaff that blows away. If you are out in the country at harvest time, you would have your corn, your grain mixed with broken straw and chaff. And what would happen in that period of time, you would toss it all up into the air with a pitchfork. You'd throw it all up the village threshing floor. And during the evening breeze, then the breeze would come through and blow away all the garbage. The good grain would land on the ground. You'd throw it up and the wind would blow the garbage away. And the good grain would land. He says, the wicked are like that chaff. Get blown away. Their life is meaningless, purposeless, useless. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They may be scoffers. They may mock you. They may insult you. They may insult the gospel. They may call you a bigot. They may call you any number of names, but they will not stand in the judgment. They are enemies of God. They are sinners and they are rebels, and God comes in judgment upon them. Their life is shown to be futile. I mentioned earlier that many celebrities have died this year. It's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy period of time, but let me confess, I'm not into music. So when a celebrity dies, I'm saddened that someone has died. I'm even more saddened and I mourn when they die without a relationship with Jesus Christ. I do not mourn because I'm not into music, that I will not hear Prince's music or I will not hear someone else's music, nor that I will not see someone perform or act in Harry Potter or Star Wars, whatever it happens to be. But what I see is a life many times impacted by sin and immorality and drugs and depression, where people seeking to medicate their loneliness, their brokenness, the rejection of God, and I see them dead. And friends, for that we ought to mourn. Not that we will miss their music, not because they've impacted so many people. They are human beings created in the image of God, and many of them have died unforgiven. And they're not going to have any reunion with anyone. They'll find the judgment of God. And 14 people have drowned in this Christmas period. 14 people. It's a bizarre 2016, end to 2016. Young and old. And every life matters to God. Blessed is the one who delights in God. But those who reject God will stand under his judgment. Thousands killed in wars. Thousands abused and mocked. 71 women bashed to death in Australia, in 2016. Domestic violence. Evil people committing evil crimes. And to pray against that, we need to seek justice and righteousness. We also need to remember that every life is valuable, every life matters. And one of our responsibilities as Christians is to pass on the message of God's love to hurting and broken people. And then there is a final separation. The Lord watches over, in verse 6, the way of the righteous. He knows them, he cares for them. He has a personal relationship with them. And if you know Christ, God has a relationship with you. God is your Father. Jesus is your brother. The Holy Spirit lives in you, is what the Bible says. You have this wonderful relationship with God. You can be assured that God is with you. No matter what happens, he stands with you. You have a secure eternity. The wicked, on the other hand, will perish. They've rejected God's love, rejected his word. Friends, in Matthew chapter 7, we move to the New Testament. We read these words. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Just think about those words, it just breaks my heart. There's a narrow road. And friends, if you trust in Christ, you're on that narrow road by the grace of God. But there's a wide road, a broad road. Why are most people on the broad road? Why did Jesus say, don't be surprised that most people will mock God. Don't be surprised that most people will reject God and becomes an increasing thing in Australia. Don't be surprised by that. Broad is the road that leads to death. Because you know how you get on that road? Do your own thing. Make up your own rules. Sleep with who you like. Get drunk when you like. Spend your money whichever way you like. Cheat whenever you like. Lie whenever you like. You can end up on that road, the broad road that leads to destruction. But to enter the narrow road, you need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ. Friends, the good news as we head into 2016 is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves and he gives, and whoever believes has eternal life. And John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Believe in Jesus, you have eternal life, you possess it. You reject the Son, God's wrath remains on you. God's anger continues on you. Blessed is the man who doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. Blessed is he who trusts in Christ and has eternal life. There is destruction coming for those who reject the Son and find themselves under God's wrath. How will you live in 2017? There are only two ways. Trust in Christ and live according to his word, and you'll be blessed by God. Follow the counsel of the wicked, and you'll end up on the road to destruction. May God help us to trust in Christ, delight in his word, be transformed by it, and live for his glory in 2017. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for this short psalm, six verses of truth and power. Lord, it is our prayer that we would have heard your voice tonight, that we'll continue to hear you as you speak to us, that we will not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, we will not stand in the way of sinners, we will not sit in the seat of mockers, but we will delight in the law of the Lord and find prosperity and meaning and purpose and salvation. Lord, I thank you that you saved people in this past year, people who are lost and dead in their sins and our followers of Christ, who are delighting in Christ. Lord, may we see that time and time again in 2017 as we pass on the word of God to others, as we run evangelistic courses, as we teach in our children's ministry, our high school ministry, as we go into the schools, primary schools, high schools, as we go into universities. Lord God, it is our prayer that men and women, boys and girls would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. No longer sitting in the way of sinners and scoffers and mockers, but being transformed and renewed and released by God to make a difference in this world. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Please forgive us our sins. Please transform us and give us resolve and strength by your Spirit to live lives that glorify you in 2017. We pray in your name and for your glory. Amen. Friends, can I encourage you to take out a response card? And maybe God spoke to you. Maybe there's something you need to give up. Maybe it's sin you need to turn from. Maybe it's an attitude you need to repent of. Tell God about that. If you'd like some prayer and some encouragement by some of the pastoral team, let us know on those cards. Friends, we want 2017 to be a great year in your life as God works in your life and God transforms your life and God uses you for his glory. I said, what's my resolution for this year? Oh, not much, just more of the same. I said to these guys, I said, just be a balanced, sensible Christian life where I'm balanced physically, emotionally, spiritually. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my God. And that God would use me. May that be your prayer as you step out in faith to God. We will collect any response cards or any SMS messages you've put up, and as we sing a couple of songs now.